It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by on-camera and voiceover talent RodHunter.com and the law offices of Matthew Simone. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist Bob Siegel.
Well, of course, the big talk of the town this week, Anthony Fauci's testimony before Congress, which finally led to a contempt charge. Now, he didn't really testify. He pleaded the fifth, even though Biden had pardoned him for all activity going back to January 2014 and ending when Biden left office in January of 2025. But before Fauci pleaded the fifth, he did talk. This was his opening statement.
Members of the committee, I served at the NIH for over 54 years, 38 of those as director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases. Over that period, I proved that I believe in and respect the value of legitimate congressional oversight. In fact, I testified before and or briefed Senate and House committees well over 200 times over those 38 years. During and after the COVID pandemic, I have appeared multiple times for hearings in the Senate and the House, usually under oath, and sat for several days-long transcribed sworn interviews, answering questions about the very issues that are now the subject of this hearing. However, given Senator Paul's obvious obsession with calling for my prosecution, his repeated slanderous comments about me, and recently his publicly releasing my unredacted personal diary aimed at embarrassing and intimidating me, the only conclusion I can reach is that the sole reason he is calling me before this committee is to get me to say something, anything, that could vindicate his repeated public pledges that I end up, in his words, quote, behind bars, unquote. Any reasonable person who has followed his unhinged obsession with me would readily come to the same conclusion. Therefore, although it pains me to do so, because of the respect I have for the legislative branch of government and my decades-long record of cooperating with Congress, under the advice of my attorneys, I will invoke my right under the Fifth Amendment of the Constitution to refrain from answering your questions.
Shut up!
Actually, after that, he did shut up. Boy, did he shut up. Yeah, he opened by saying his piece, then he pleaded the fifth 111 times to each and every question, even questions about the color of his tie. The new wrinkle? His personal diary has been uncovered, and it exposes many lies, lies told to Congress in previous testimonies. But again, that's all been pardoned. So why did he plead the fifth if they were only going to question him about the same stuff? You'll hear different views from different legal experts because some of what's going on is uncharted waters. But here's what I have been able to make out. The Republican Senate committee under Ron Paul put Fauci in a catch-22. Here was their thinking. If he answers their questions honestly and admits that he lied in the past, well, they can't prosecute him. But asking Fauci to stop lying and admit the truth is like asking an elephant to fly. it would be too humiliating for this man who called himself a rock star, according to some of his personal diary entries. On the other hand, they're thinking if he lies again, it's a lie in the present, not the past, and that is not covered by the pardon. And the lies exposed by his diary were plentiful. Publicly, Fauci claimed that the Wuhan virus came from a bat in the wet market rather than a lab conducting gain-of-function research. Now, we can understand this would be his position since he personally encouraged tax funding for gain-of-function research. You see? If that was the origin, then the man guiding our country to fight this pandemic was the same man responsible, or at least partly responsible. Others were also culpable. Fauci said in January of 2020, almost certainly, somewhere, somehow, a bat infected an intermediate host who infected a human. Those who suggested otherwise were dismissed or ridiculed. But in January 26, 2020, an entry in his diary said, "It now appears, using epidemiological data and genomatic data, that the first infection was in early December and was not connected to the market." Quoting him again, "Now we know the market was not the source. It was the amplifier. Having said that, somewhere, the virus jumped from animals to humans." In February of 2020, he wrote that 9 out of 11 scientists in a conference call believed, quote-unquote, deliberate insertion was possible. He also recommended masks, which many states insisted on. But back in February of 2020, in an email exchange with former Health and Human Services Secretary Sylvia Burwell, and these records were released in 2021, he wrote, "Masks are really for infected people to prevent them from spreading infection to people who are not infected, rather than protecting uninfected people from acquiring infection. The typical mask you buy in the drugstore is not really effective in keeping out virus, which is small enough to pass through the material." Now, publicly, he went back and forth, but these were his words and his thoughts as a scientist. In his diary, he also talked about private dinners with television hosts while the rest of us were on lockdown. But then he claimed he didn't have anything to do with the lockdowns, at least publicly. In an interview, he said, "First of all, I didn't recommend locking down anything." He said the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is the agency that makes recommendations. In a 2022 interview, Fauci said he had nothing to do with school closures during the pandemic. But a diary entry from March 2020 says that he convinced New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio, and I'm quoting him now, "based on what I was saying publicly in my conversation tonight, to close the NYC schools." He also said that he should close the bars and restaurants in New York City. Later in that diary entry, Fauci writes that he had a similar call with Ann O'Leary, then chief of staff to California Governor Gavin Newsom, who said Newsom decided to close the schools in California as well as the bars and restaurants based on Fauci's television appearances. In a congressional transcript, he admitted that the 6-foot rule just sort of appeared. Now, under this man, 1 million Americans died. That's horrible. I have a friend who died of COVID. On the other hand, the far, far, high majority of Americans were never in any danger. It depended on your age. It depended on preconditions. To most Americans, this was nothing more than experiencing the common cold or the common flu. And yet, their lives were turned upside down. The entire country was turned upside down. There was a surfer paddleboarding alone in the ocean on a vacant beach in California. He got arrested. He was the only one out in the ocean. He was the only one out on the beach. He got arrested. Children couldn't go to school. People were arrested for going to church. People who had cancer weren't treated because COVID was the priority. And then when the vaccination came out, people were fired for not taking it and dismissed from the military or dismissed as nurses, dismissed as doctors. What happened to my body, my choice? That's what the left is always touting. And these same leftists were saying people should be fired for not taking the vaccine. This reminds me of what the Bible says the Antichrist is going to do. Now, as you know, I'm not one who comes out and says we're living in the last generation before the second coming of Christ. I have no idea when that will happen. I do believe it will happen someday, according to the Bible. But when it happens, there's this very charismatic figure who's going to unite the world politically and globally, and he will insist on being worshipped as God. And the way you show you're worshipping him is you wear his number. His number is 666. You wear it on your right hand or your forehead. And here's the kicker. You're not allowed to buy or sell without wearing this mark. Well, we were this close from saying you were not allowed to buy or sell without getting vaccinated. Almost looked like a dress rehearsal for the great tribulation of the world. And probably during the great tribulation, they'll tell you that if you're not willing to wear the mark of the beast, you don't really care about public safety and you don't want to protect human lives. Again, no one knows when the Antichrist is coming. That is the ultimate Antichrist. But we do have prototypes of the Antichrist today, like that charming little Antichrist who just got elected mayor of New York City, Zoran Mankami. Have you heard the latest that he's bragging about? One of his campaign promises was tax-funded, government-run supermarkets. Well, if it's run anything like the DMV, we can look forward to that. And yet, they just came out and said that once these supermarkets are built, you're going to need to show ID before you go in to prevent non-New Yorkers from using it. Only for New Yorkers. Sounds a lot like you believe in borders, Mayor. Sounds like you also believe in ID, Mayor. I thought ID was racist. Oh, yeah, I forgot. ID is only bad if you ask for it before people vote in an election. Now, they have since tried to walk this back, but the hypocrisy already broke out of the corral. Let me tell you what's going to happen to this supermarket after they finally build it. In time, the shelves will be empty and homeless people will be living there. But that won't stop the city of New York from collecting taxes. If you think I'm wrong, if you like the idea of government-run supermarkets, just look at the experiment in Kansas. Government-run supermarket. Oh yeah, that's right. You can't. It's not there anymore. Yeah, you just watch. Taxes designated for a supermarket will fund homeless people in New York City. Unfortunately, the Mondami message and the Mondami charisma are spreading and replicating, especially in Michigan, where we see the same kind of friendly smile. We see this smile on Abdul Muhammad El-Sayed, who just won the Michigan primary for senator and goes head-to-head with GOP candidate Mike Rogers. Now, Republicans are excited about Mike Rogers. He has all the good credentials, all the old-fashioned, good old loving America credentials. He served in the Army. He served in the FBI. GOP pundits consider him a shoo-in because while socialists like El-Sayed are taking over the Democratic Party, he is too extreme and radical for mainstream America. So they say. I hope they're right. From the bottom of my heart, I hope they're right. I am not so convinced. The momentum of the socialists, who are really communists, has taken the Democrats by surprise, much the same way that Trump sideswiped the GOP in 2016 and surprised the Hillary Clinton campaign by winning the general election. People also said that couldn't happen, remember? Now, Trump's message was very different. His message was as good as the socialist message is hideous, but both movements are populist, breaking from status quo politicians. Like Mondami, El-Sayed is a Muslim, and although he denies being a socialist, you can't really find one thing the DSA believes that he doesn't. Now, Muslims and communists make strange bedfellows. Their worldviews are as opposite as night and day, although they do have one thing in common, global domination. Each wants to take over the world. Now, I know you'll find Muslims who don't want to take over the world and claim they're about peace, and a lot of them are telling the truth, but still, that just means they're unfamiliar with their own scriptures because the Quran does command them to wage war and conquer all who are not Muslim. They do this in the name of God with the goal of mandating a theocracy. The communists, on the other hand, are godless, and their interests are about government control of production. Let's be clear. Seizing the means of production and eliminating all private property is nothing less than slavery. The same leftists calling for reparations of slavery in the past are pushing slavery in the present. They just don't use the word slavery. So the communists are not about a theocracy, but they too want to conquer the world. Right now, the two movements, communism and Islam, are convenient to each other. But once they gain power, they will each try to eliminate the other. Right now, they view each other as useful idiots. Now, today's particular brand of socialism communism does have something else in common with Islam, anti-Semitism. In that regard, the merging of Islamists and communists can be compared to the Nazis. In fact, I think of them as Nazis more than any other designation. Don't forget, the word Nazi stands for National Socialist Party. The only difference between Hitler's Nazis and the Marxist-Leninist communists was that the Nazis stressed national identity more and the communists stressed global identity more. But both were interested in conquering the world. Both came into power by pitting rich against poor, with the Nazis substituting the word rich for Jew. People like Al-Sayed say they are anti-Israel, but not anti-Jewish. The guy couldn't even answer a direct question about whether he believed in Israel's right to exist. But he's not anti-Jewish, just anti-Israel. Same tired old drivel, and it's not true. It is simply not true. In March, an armed man drove a vehicle into Michigan's Temple Israel, which also held a children's school. Saeed offered the obligatory condemnation of all violence, but then noted that the perpetrator was an Arab American who lost family members in an Israeli airstrike on Lebanon. Yeah, well, Lebanon is the home of Hezbollah, an Iranian-backed terror group whose mission is the complete annihilation of Israel. Gee, why oh why would Israel go after them? Anyway, Saeed said, hurt people do hurt people. In other words, he excused the action. His buddy, podcast host Hassan Piker, whom Saeed campaigns with, has said worse. Regarding the Hamas attack in October of 2023, Piker was asked about the Jewish women being raped by Hamas. He said, and I quote, "It doesn't matter if rape happened. It doesn't change the dynamic for me." And yet this man has become the darling of the leftist media. My friends, if we lose the midterm election in both the House and the Senate, we lose the country. It will be run by nothing less than Nazi swine. It will be run by a herd of pigs. But they smile, and they promise a lot of free stuff. You'll never get the free stuff, but they will at least keep smiling, because they will have plenty to smile about. You won't, but they will. You need to show up at the polls this November and vote like your life depends on it, because guess what? It does. This is Bob Siegel making the obvious obvious.
Believe it or not, Bob Siegel is aware that there may be one or two people who disagree with his opinions. To offer your own comments on the topic at hand, or to challenge Bob with a thought-provoking question, feel free to contact Bob on Facebook or questions@bobsiegel.net.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-age child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
This is Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle. So when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, W&S takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for W&S Electric Incorporated. License number 480-539, W&S Electric.
People are enjoying Bob Siegel's time travel novel, Push the Winds Around. Check out these customer reviews on Amazon.com. This is one of those books like certain movies where you keep thinking about it long after you finished. Once I picked it up, I didn't want to put it down until I'd read the entire book. Literally, a page-turner. Every character came to life. Their personalities were well-defined and consistent. First thing I did after I finished the book was to ask about the sequel. The next customer said, I read this book cover to cover in one sitting. Great read with completely unexpected ending that left me wishing there was just one more chapter. Give yourself a couple of hours to read it all at once because you won't want to put it down. Push the Winds Around. Available on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com.
Welcome back to 1170 AM, 96.1 FM, The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. Say hello to my producer, Brendan Thomas.
Good afternoon, Bob. How are you doing today?
Doing okay. Did I hear correctly? Is your little son having another birthday coming up, or did I hear that incorrectly?
No, you heard correctly. This Friday, he will be officially 3 years
old. Oh, my goodness.
I need to go replay that up.
Already done with the terrible twos.
Exactly.
Huh?
Now to the terrible threes. No, yes. Just joking.
twos and the much worse threes.
In all seriousness, though, I do need to go back and listen to the Bob Siegel show where I talked about the birth of my son, because that story still gets to me every single time.
Yeah.
It just feels like it was just yesterday.
Well, but yeah, it feels that way for me too. There's nothing like it.
Yeah. Big news coming from our station here in the Answer San Diego. We have a very, very huge national host coming here the entire week because he's on a tour right now across America. I think he's coming out with a brand new book. Kevin O'Connor. He is the main editor of townhall.com. He has his own show, nationally syndicated show, both on a cumulative station, the Kevin O'Connor show, and lastly, his own Salem.
Now, is he preempting some of the standard shows while he's here? Is he going to be coming in and recording, or is he just here doing some
public He was our official replacement for Charlie Kirk during this time. So now we do replays of Charlie Kirk, but he has stepped up to become the host of the
show. Don't they still call that the Charlie Kirk show?
They sure do.
Yeah. Are they going to keep that name?
They will keep the name, but in terms of the radio program here on the Answer San Diego, we replaced it with the Kevin O'Connor show. We are so excited to bring him in.
And what will be the time that he's on?
You're
saying he's already on, except
correct.
He'll be doing it from this studio.
Exactly.
Rather than
so the Kevin O'Connor show starts at 5 a.m. Eastern time. So do you know what that means? Someone's got to be here in the studio at 2 in the morning each day this week. But you know what? When there's a show, you got to do it. You got to do it.
The show must go on.
That's right. So you will not be hearing the Kevin O'Connor show. You will be hearing what is called O'Connor and Friends. We broadcast that show from 10 a.m. to noon. So make sure you guys listen in for that, because you'll know it's right here in San Diego. So that's especially really cool. Okay. So let's get into the news, because we got a lot to get through. Guess what? Trump's in the news. What a surprise, surprise. I have the WNBA story, which is also a crazy shenanigan.
Absolute insanity.
I know. Let's start off with this brand new study about housing costs. So luckily, we have some good news. Housing has gotten more affordable, so which is great. This, I'm not surprised.
In California?
Not in California. You're talking about national stuff.
Yeah, okay.
So, and you know what? That was the big thing, because Trump was saying that housing's becoming more and more affordable for new first-time
homebuyers. Well, if he could have gotten the Fed to lower the rate, it would have happened a little.
I agree. But let me read this report at least. A new Redfin report finds that households still need to earn nearly $110,000 a year to afford a typical home, while high mortgage rates continue squeezing buyers. Now, this figure is slightly lower than last year's record high, which was at $120,000. So it's been $10,000 cheaper, which is a huge chunk of change still, nevertheless. However, rising household incomes and slower home price growth help narrow that gap. Still, the average household earns about $22,000 less than what is needed to comfortably buy a medium-priced home. Medium household income rose by 4%, which is nearly about $88,000. I'm just rounding the numbers, which is helping narrow the affordability gap. Still, the income needed to buy a home is $22,000 higher than what a typical household earns. Redfin defined affordable as spending no more than 30% of income on monthly housing costs and assuming 15% is a down payment, which sounds about right. My wife likes to go with a 20% down payment because she could be a little bit more flexible when it comes to the mortgages, but time will tell then because you're still renting an apartment.
Well, here's the
right
thing,
now.
And I know the down payment is the problem of coming course. Up with that, but a lot of places where you rent, you're more or less paying what you would be paying for a mortgage anyway, except in a mortgage, you're making an investment, and with rent, you were just throwing the money away. So folks, I know you have to live out of your comfort zone. I rented for years before I finally bought, but boy, it is worth it. And it is the way you want to go.
It's true. We played a Charlie Kirk video that was just about 2 years old, but still, it still speaks volume where he said the average first time home buyer was 35 in 2008. And I think the video came out in like 2018 to be exact. Actually.
Oh, by the way, have you heard the latest from the left? If you own a house, you're a racist.
Oh no, I did not hear that. No, I did hear that.
Next week, it'll be if you sneeze, you're a racist, but they are actually saying that if you own your own home, you're a racist.
There was that story just now that Newsom heard that some big tech people just bought out some property up in Silicon Valley. And he said, oh yeah, I heard that news. They're going to get a higher property tax on them. So he's basically pushing out everybody out of California still. What a surprise. I know. So.
I wonder what he's going to do when the elections roll around and he discovers that he's not the president. How is his life going to go on?
Well, I know. I would wish that, but I already discussed this last time on Still Talking with
you
Jared Basso.
You still think he's the one that's going to take it away?
I do think so. And I know
the
Democrats.
Nomination or the
both the nomination. And honestly, I want Vance to win. I really, really do. But man, the Democrats are going to pull every single thing
in
the
book.
Yeah,
like they're going to cheat.
Exactly.
And the spineless Republicans just went home.
Exactly.
And wouldn't pass the Save America Act.
Exactly. Yeah. Just to finish up this last bit of the story, the housing costs. Starter homes are becoming somewhat more affordable. Redfin saying that the national average is around $71,000 for an entry-level home, which is 1.5% less than last year. Housing costs now consume 37.6% of typical buyers' income, down from 39.3% a year ago. High mortgage rates are also keeping home ownership out of reach for many first-time home buyers, with an average rate of reaching 6.69% this week. So like you said, if they were able to lower the rates, they would be able to buy these homes like crazy. But unfortunately, they're just pretty stagnant on that situation, like a lot of other things right now. All right, so let's get into one of the Trump stories that I have since I have a little bit of time. Well, the Federal Appeals Court just decided to butt their little heads again into business that wasn't even theirs to begin with.
And they're saying that they're putting it on hold until Congress decides what to do. This is private money.
Correct.
Unless this was being paid with our tax dollars, what the heck does Congress have to do?
Right.
With it?
Now, the first part, Trump was saying, I'm going to use public money for it. They said, no, absolutely not. So then he's like, fine, then I will use my own money for it. So this is his own money, mind you. Now, he did say he also got some money from other billionaires and other high-tech people to help
so
with the funding,
too. So
it's
nobody else's. Is the exactly. idea that it's still being built on a public land? So
that's
need,
it.
You know.
That's it. Exactly.
Where were they when Obama put in his, what was it, a basketball court?
Exactly.
Nixon put in a swimming pool. You never heard a word from anybody.
Exactly.
Back then.
May I point out that one of the people that rejected, because this was three judges that had to decide on this. We had Joe Biden appointed, Garcia is his last name, specifically Bradley Garcia, and then Millett, who is Patricia Millett. She was nominated by Barack Obama. So Millett was the one who actually rejected the idea. Garcia was okay with the whole situation. However, Rao is the one that's nominated by Trump. And Rao was the one who actually was the last vote that needed to say, no, I'm not going to pass this. And I was shocked to hear that. But
Trump
again,
must feel great about that.
Exactly. If I can read the public statement from specifically Judge Rao saying, whether or not a massive ballroom should be constructed is for Congress to decide and is not a matter for executive self-help. This holding has nothing at all to do with whether the proposed ballroom is desirable or not as a matter of policy. This ruling does not even necessarily mean that the defendants may not ultimately construct the ballroom. What it does mean is that defendants may not do so during the district court's expeditious litigation without securing Congress's authorization as Constitution and law requires. But again, this is his own private
money. How are they
going
to get authorization from Congress with the filibuster?
Now, keep in mind, this is not the only court decision this weekend about Trump trying to build something. I don't know if you heard this, too. But an assessment by the National Park Service found that a 250-foot-tall triumphal arch that Trump has proposed building would compromise the historical significance of dozens of sites near its planned location on a traffic circle between Lincoln Memorial and Arlington National Cemetery. But once again, Trump is using his own private money to help build that structure.
Translation, we don't like Trump, and no matter what he decides to do, we're going to rule against him. That's all this means.
It's true. And again, this is the only thing that the Democrats have on their side is the fact that the courts keep doing this to Trump. And again, this is not the biggest ordeal in terms of like, oh, we got him. This is it. Because this is honestly just about a bunch of structures and buildings for that matter. Obviously, Democrats want to keep attacking him on a policy level, not really this kind of level. And besides, I know Trump has said that this is an unjust decision in terms of what the outcome was. But at the same time, there's a lot more important things on Trump's plate.
Yeah, such as, and I heard this in the news, and I hope it was a news report that was false. They said that Trump is looking for an off-ramp for the war, and he's willing to go with a deal on the Strait of Hormuz and leave the nuclear situation alone. If he does that, Brendan, it will just absolutely ruin his career. It would be now, if he wanted to say, for a while, we've set them back, and until the midterms are over, I'm not going to revisit that right now, which would just be honest. Mm-hmm. I would be fine with that. But if they do that and they try to claim it as some kind of victory, it's going to be a real problem.
By the way, I do have some bad news. I don't know if you heard our top of the hour story. That's what was confirmed as the report as well. So it was an accurate report. Correct. Yes. Yeah.
And I was hoping it wasn't.
And again, we've talked about this so many times about Trump. Just stop trying to do deals at this point.
And every time he announces it, he acts with this enthusiasm as though we're hearing about it for the first time. They've contacted me, and in big bold letters, they want to make a deal. And I'm like, a deal?
I know. At this point, it's just a broken record, and it's going to keep playing.
Just finish the job.
Thank you. Thank you. Exactly. All right. So we're going to go take a commercial break. Once again, Trump was in the news, but again, for the really
wrong
reasons.
Now, have you checked with the district courts about whether we're allowed to take a commercial break?
No, I did not. But you know what?
We're probably doing something unconstitutional.
If they say it's unconstitutional, I'm just going to appeal it right now with the FCC. So we'll be right back to the Bob Siegel Show.
Looking for a church that will not only challenge you but help you to feel like a part of a family? Why not try Skyline Church, located in Rancho San Diego near 94 in Hamishaw? I can testify firsthand to Skyline because I myself am a member. When you visit, tell them Bob Siegel sent you and ask about that free week-long trip to Bermuda for first-time visitors. They'll look at you like they don't know what you're talking about, and you will not in fact get any free trip to Bermuda. But you'll still be glad for a chance to experience Skyline Church. You don't want to go to Bermuda anyway. Too hot. And people who approach that area have been known to disappear. But they don't disappear at Skyline. Those who visit usually can't wait to come back.
Skyline Church.
Listen to the time.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. Say hello again to my producer, Brendan Thomas.
Well, like I said in the last segment, that Trump is back in the news, but again, for a horrible, horrible incident. There was another assassination attempt again.
Yeah, yet again. In Los Angeles at another one of the Trump golf courses.
Correct, yes. By the way, did you hear that there was a tournament today for Trump for the golf?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, they called it the Trump National Championship. So it was. I'm not kidding you.
Oh, someone's going to rule that that's unconstitutional to call
no,
it the
right?
Trump Championship.
Exactly.
But we need congressional approval for it.
So, California man was arrested at President Donald Trump's Los Angeles area
now,
golf
didn't
course.
Didn't that guy try to claim that he was actually a fan of Trump to kind of get out of it?
He said he
made that claim. Maybe that was as the news was coming out quickly and being distorted.
Here's the story that I got that police were able to have him confess to, at least. First off, let me just read this part here. Fox News did report after this incident. This is the 20th time since 2016 an assassination attempt has happened to Trump. That is an amount.
No, like, we hadn't heard about 20. We've heard about a few major ones.
At least I know.
Maybe they're talking about a lot behind the scenes that have been thwarted that haven't been reported.
I'm assuming that's correct.
I can believe that very easily.
And looking this up, they said there's only three major incidents. I can count. This is the sixth one, if I remember correctly. And again, two of them have been thwarted.
Well,
this one's thwarted.
There was the guy that was stopped at the Mar-a-Lago gate, correct. I know. And then during the wrestling match, there was an attempt. And then, of course, during the correspondence dinner.
I was going to say during the Pennsylvania one, too, as well.
Pennsylvania, correspondence. Mm-hmm. And then the guy right on the golf course that tried to shoot him through the bushes.
So this is, appeared. But again.
But then there's ones where it was planned, but they never got within the vicinity of Trump.
I wanted to look up and play the reason why this is all happening. But literally, when I look up compilation of Democrats calling Trump Hitler, it's over 20 minutes. We don't have that time right now,
yeah,
Bob.
Exactly.
We really don't.
Exactly. No. They are culpable for this.
They need to stop this. Seriously.
When you keep calling a man Hitler, some psychopath is going to believe you. And I think, Brendan, that's what their intention is.
I think so.
They know there's no law that can prosecute
Absolutely. Them. Absolutely. And again, if you have a distaste for this guy, fine. There's better wording behind it. You do not need to call this man one of the most reprehensible figures
especially
in history.
Especially since when you look at their policies and what the Nazi communists are doing right now, they are actually the ones that are reminding us of the real Hitler.
That's right. So the person that was the shooter was first seen on the property on Friday, walking throughout the course, wearing an earpiece and taking photos and videos of federal agents and what their activities were and conducting a security assessment, according to a federal criminal complaint. He returned to the course on Sunday approaching federal agents and said that he was employed by the State Department.
Yeah, I heard that. Now, how did he think he was going to get away with that?
I don't know, but there was
that does not make him the brightest bulb on the show.
No, definitely not. When they searched him, they found the ID that literally was like one of the worst
printed.
It's the
easiest thing for them to go check on.
Exactly. Now, he had a loaded weapon in his vehicle, and he was arrested after it was searched. The other thing that they noticed on him was that he already appeared in court earlier that Wednesday for state weapons charges and second-degree robbery charge, but this was for an unrelated incident, mind you. But still, just this past Wednesday, he was already literally charged with all those things. He's also going to be charged federally, although it has not processed through yet. They're still under state charges currently for him. But later on this week, he'll be charged federally for all these situations. There was also a legally modified AR-style rifle with a barrel that was cut down to 10 inches and from 14 inches. The Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department said that a search of his pickup truck in the club parking lot turned up a loaded 9mm pistol, binoculars, and of course, like I said, a badge that read Security Protection Agency, which was printed very poorly, they added as well. I like how they added that little part, at least, about it's printed really badly, honestly. Law enforcement searched his home in downtown Downey on Monday, and they also found a rifle and other firearms, magazines and ammunition, body armor, and notebooks with concerning statements about Trump, according to federal authorities as well. So if he was saying nice statements, it was much, much earlier, because otherwise, here we are again with this other notebook again of saying, oh, Trump's Hitler, Trump's doing all these things. Again, this is just another example of you need to watch what you say when you're a public figure. Because again, there's so many people that will be influenced with what your words are. And I cannot stand seeing these situations occur. So first, we have twice J.D. Vance was trying to get assassinated. And now this is the sixth time.
Yeah,
J.D. Vance got...
Oh, they tried to... I didn't hear about that.
One was at the... He was with Trump at the building.
Oh, that's right. The correspondence thing. They were trying to kill off everybody.
Correct. And then there was another attempt at the White House. I remember I reported that to you where there was a person trying to get through.
I had forgotten about that. I remember now us talking about
that. His family was there and they were almost shot, but only one Secret Service agent got shot in the end and he was only critically injured, but he's made a full recovery since then. Still, nevertheless, so we had two assassination attempts on J.D. Vance, and now this, I'm considering this the sixth one. I don't care if it's the planned ones didn't go through.
The Democratic Party is all about violence now.
And it is.
They call violence free speech, and then if they don't like your speech, they call your speech violence.
Now, I used to criticize the SSA. I actually have to applaud how well they've done as of late. Before even the person gets in the same room, before Trump is even there to begin with, Secret Service is right there on the spot before any other incident can occur or any other people can get injured.
The people that are actually around Trump do a very good job, but it's just stupid decisions like having it in a hotel room and letting other people check into the hotel room without security.
I'm talking about the last few incidences.
Yeah.
Because no one can predict, oh, this person just barged into the White House gate like that, and therefore, but they were able to stop him really, really quickly.
Yeah. The people that are there on the spot are doing a good job.
Yeah. Now, I don't know how he got in there to look at the whole golf course to say, okay, that Secret Service goes over there and that person goes over there. I don't know how that part happens. But again, they stopped the incident before any other real serious incidents occurred in that time. So I do need to applaud them for that. So for that reason.
Absolutely. Again, they put their lives in danger. They do a very good job.
Absolutely. All right. We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, the WNBA, something I never talk about very often, has made into the news finally.
And it's just metastasized into something beyond what it originally was.
Absolutely. We'll talk about that when we come back.
The much-anticipated sequel to The Dangerous Christmas Ornament is finally here, Inside the Castle in the Glass. Mike Owen is now in high school enjoying his new girlfriend and his new popularity. But life gets interrupted when a series of mishaps transfer him and his friends into a whole new world, the very world his mysterious Christmas ornament originated from. Inside the Castle in the Glass. Available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
I'm Dr. David Poole, president of San Diego Christian College. Did you know that SDCC has been training servant leaders since 1970? That's over 50 years of making an impact. Our degree and certificate programs blend academic excellence with a Christian worldview. Whether you're a traditional age college student or a working professional who wants to complete their degree or certificate program, we may be a match for you. Learn more at sdcc.edu. That's sdcc.edu. San Diego Christian College, over 50 years in the making.
From the epic motion picture, How the West Was Won, and in those days, men were not trying to call themselves women. Take it away, Brendan.
Now, to be fair, this story, they're obviously, I feel like they're joking.
Oh, no, no. The guys from the men's basketball that want to get in,
it's so tongue-in-cheek.
They're making a point, tongue-in-cheek, but nobody can challenge them because what are they going to do? Should they show us your data that you're a woman?
That's right. That's right. So for those who don't know, the WNBA is in some controversy right now. About a month ago, Indiana Fever guard Sophie Cunningham blasted trans participation, saying, "I want to protect young girls in a locker room or young girls in sport who shouldn't have to go against biological men," she told ESPN, later defending her remarks as just common sense, which makes sense to me too, honestly. I mean, again, the physicality.
It is common sense. Everybody knows it's common sense. People are just cowardly curs and they don't want to speak up.
Exactly. And if I could continue on the statement very quickly, I think there is room for absolutely everyone here, and I think there is room to love everyone. I truly think when you get people in the same room and you have conversations, you actually have a lot in common with a lot of people. And so I'm there to love, but I still cannot say that I want to play with a biological man. Seems fair. It doesn't sound like she's absolutely saying, "Oh, I'm detesting trans athletes. If you're a trans athlete, I'm against you." And all
on the other hand, I think too many people are saying, "Well, I think it's okay to be trans." I think you could say, "I love all people, including trans people." But honestly, I think a trans person has a deep emotional psychological problem. And nobody's willing to say that, but that's true also.
But at least in this sense here, I'm
fine with what she said.
Exactly. And again, I feel like she's doing it in a very professional manner.
She is.
Now, the league has said in many different tweets about this whole situation that they're rejecting the right-wing criticisms about the stances about identity issues, saying it's just right-wing conservative mumbo-jumbo jokes, in quotes. And I'm like, no, it's not. It was serious.
Actually, it's called biology.
Exactly. The league's players union called on fans in an afternoon statement to drown out bad actors sharing hateful comment, adding that it wouldn't be used as political pawns. Quote, "We embrace justice, equity, diversity, and inclusion. Those are the values that unite this union and allow it to protect women's sports while creating transformational change. Hate, abuse, and demonization of any person or group of people, including transgender people, only fuel fear, division, and harm," in a public statement from the league, they said. And obviously, the commissioner of the league, I forgot her name, but she did make another statement this morning saying that they're looking meticulously into this topic right now, is what she said.
Yeah, it's also very nuanced and very complex.
I think she meant manticulously, but that's a different term. Sorry. Anyways, Anus Counter Freedom was one of the first ones to come out. The former professional basketball center playing a post-retirement role in cultural battles was mocking WNBA's genders policy, saying, "If simply declaring who you are is all that's required, then I meet every single requirement necessary to compete in the WNBA."
Well, Clay Travis has gone beyond that. He wants to put up $1 million to start an entirely all-male team and have them play in the WNBA.
I did not hear that.
Oh, my God. Now, you know, there is a way to settle this.
Okay, go ahead.
We need to look to the science. We should turn this over to Anthony Fauci. And let him make a determination.
I think if men want to play, it's okay as long as they wear a mask. No, two masks.
Well, I have to agree on the statement. I got to say, the impression of Fauci's, yeah, I'm working on that a little bit, but it's okay. Still, yes, that's really, really good. There was another response. I don't know if this is a joke I saw online, but they officially in Wales, they made the first ever trans athlete league. Specifically, you have to be a trans person and play rugby is what they have over there. Now, I don't know if this is officially true. I think it's a complete farce and joke of the whole situation. But if that's true, very, very fine. You can have your league there. And I'm going to have to just worry about my own leagues and actually watch, you know, actual women play on basketball or actual men playing basketball, too. Earlier in the day, Freedom said he reviewed the WNBA's eligibility criteria and insisted that he met the requirements to play, according to Article 13. Of the WNBA's 2026 collective bargaining agreement says only players who are women are eligible to play in WNBA. Yet in the 409-page document, it never defines.
Well, of course they didn't. 30, 40 years ago or whenever they started the WNBA, who would have thought you needed to write a definition of women?
But this is a brand new one in 2026, mind you. This is an updated one.
Maybe they should have done it given the times we were living in.
Now, my favorite one out of all of them is actually Royce White. I don't know if you heard his response to the whole situation. So he's a 35-year-old Republican candidate for the U.S. Senate.
Oh, yes. I saw him today on the news.
That's right. He only played three games in the NBA. He had to quit from the NBA because he had anxiety and flying plane to place to get to all the games, which to me is slightly hilarious. How do you not know you're going to be a professional basketball player and not know you're going to fly to all your games? You're not going to literally drive to every single one like it's the 1930s or 40s. But nevertheless, he stated, quote, "I'm transgender. I'm a woman. Identify as sometimes identifying as a woman for purposes of professional basketball. I think I'd be unstoppable, but I'm a team first guy. I'm a pass first kind of player. I do the little things. I led my team in all five major stat categories at Iowa State University, so I do a little bit of everything. I'll do whatever the coach needs me to do. I'll do whatever the girls need me to do. I think it's only fair." Mind you, too, that he also says, "I think that the league could torpedo his challenge by simply being transparent about stance on biological men playing in women's sports," literally saying, if you weren't born a woman, then
may just force them to do that.
Exactly. "I think the WNBA could come out and make a definitive statement about guys with a pair of balls playing in the Women's Association," he said, adding that he would absolutely proceed unless the league clarifies the controversial issue. And if he goes undrafted, he vows that he will sue the league, which, fair enough. You did not state, rightly so, about what is a woman and what is not a woman in this case. So, I mean, it's up to the league now at this point. By the way, just to let you know about how he's doing in the Minnesota race, he did win his primary, but he is not able to unseat the incumbent back in 2024. He is up for the ballot again in August 11th Republican primary for Senate. So good luck to him. I think this is all great news for him personally because he's getting the attention he needs and he's making a big, bold statement.
Now, to be fair, there are a lot of people that we call men that may really be women because they don't seem to have the cojones to take a stand on this.
Oh, well, on that note, Bob, we finished up all my news stories, but we made it to the end. So thank you so much for this time on
Brendan, it's always a pleasure.
The Bob Siegel Show is sponsored in part by the Law Offices of Matthew Simone.